Welcome to the Learning Curve Podcast. Money, finance, politics, sports, and whatever else is making the news. This is Muck Dog. Come on in. It's Muck Dog. It's Monday, August 5th. Feels like summer's kind of slipping away from us here. And you know, summer's getting close to the end when football season starts. And yesterday we had the NFL Hall of Fame game on the NFL Network. And since it was on the NFL Network, hardly anybody was able to watch it. Well, I guess they're on more and more cable and satellite systems these days, just not mine. So one of these days I'm going to have to make a switch. It's been a while since I created a podcast. The tools that I'm have improved quite a bit since I did one last October, so it makes it quite a bit easier. So I thought I'd just review where the market's been this year, where it's at now, take a look at some of the comments and opinions of the bulls and bears out there. I have some audio clips of the folks from the Fox Business Block, and of course, I'll tell you what I think about the market here. So far as I look here, and of course I'm waiting for the CNBC top bar to turn over, the NASDAQ's up a little bit. It's been pretty volatile today. Been pretty volatile the last week. Anyway, so how did we get here? Well, you know, back at the end of 2006, the S&P 500 closed at 1418, and as of the close on Friday, August 3rd, we closed at 1433, and that makes for pretty easy math, since we're up about 1% year-to-date, not including the action so far this morning. So it makes it sound like quite a flat year, but that doesn't tell the rest of the story. On July 19th, the S&P 500 closed at 1553, and for the year, the market was up 9.5%. I don't think that includes dividends, but let's just call it 10%, something like that. So it looked like we were in for another double-digit year. But since July 19th, we've seen the bottom fall out. The market's corrected over 8%, and as you know, that does make some folks quite nervous.
This is a different kind of market, and the Fed is asleep.
Okay, but here's the
thing. Well, Bill Poole is a shame. He's shameful.
And that's Jim Cramer getting quite upset on Friday. You can check that out at CNBC.com. There's the whole text of that. But, you know, Jim's kind of an actor, I think, doing a little Shakespeare on the market. So he keeps it interesting, though. Okay, so before I get to my opinion on the market, let's take a look at how some of the other folks are feeling out there. Let's take a look at some of the comments from the bulls and bears. Here's Toby Smith on Saturday.
This was a sell-off at the end of the day. That it was a market event. It had nothing to do with the real economy. As the banks start to get a little better, we're going to feel better.
That's Toby Smith. Tobin Smith. Well, he seems mostly bullish most of the time to me. You know what I like about Toby is that there's always lots of drinking and parting jokes whenever he's on Fox. I don't know how to take his opinions one way or another. I don't follow him too closely, but it does seem like a fun guy to hang out with. Let's take a look at the chart man, Gary B. Smith, see what he had to say.
When you have these periods of big up and down days, essentially a lot of volatility, it normally means that the market is about to change direction. And, you know, we saw that back in February, early March. We had a lot of choppiness, and then we went on a great run. I think we're at the same inflection point now.
Yeah, Gary B. seems to be looking for a turnaround in the market. You know, I followed him pretty closely when he was commenting and blogging over at realmoney.com. I don't know what happened to him. I think maybe he wanted some more money, something like that. I can't recall. I don't know where he is now other than on TV, but I do like following him. I've actually kind of learned a lot from him over the years, following him on Real Money. But I don't know where he is now. So let's take a look at Pat Dorsey, the fundamental guy, see what he has to say.
Which is, you need to think about the bigger picture, which is corporate earnings, which is the economy, both of which still look very strong. A lot of what has driven this sell-off is market fear. It's fear of a liquidity crunch, which, if you don't need to borrow money, simply doesn't matter very much.
There's Pat Dorsey, the fundamental guy. I kind of agree with him, especially about the fear part. Fear and emotion tend to drive a lot of folks' decisions, and sometimes without looking at the underlying fundamentals of the market, you get a panic reaction. More on that later. Let's take a look at Scott Bleier. Actually, Scott Bleier, well, let's listen to the clip first.
I don't think it's too late to sell. I think everybody is expecting the Fed to come to the rescue on Tuesday, and I don't think it's going to happen. I think there's more downside, but after another downside shot, I think the market's going to try to stabilize here. But the bottom line is I think we give back all of this year's gains before we're done.
All of this year's gains before we're done, huh, Scott? Well, Scott did call the swoon a few weeks ago, so we have to give him credit for that. Actually, so did Gary Smith. I didn't mention that earlier. But Scott did call the swoon. He does change in his opinion from time to time, unlike Toby, I think. But I also heard Scott on Gary Kaltbaum's radio show not too long ago, and that's kind of how I knew he was looking for a downturn in the market, and he was worried about some of the credit issues and how that might affect the market. And finally, let's go to Gary Kaltbaum. He was guesting on the show Saturday, so let's see what he had
to
say.
Let's get back to reality here. There are a lot of things coming to fruition now that have been boiling for the last few months. The credit crunch is here. Restrictive lending, we went from one end of the spectrum in lending, just handing out money to anybody, to nobody gets any money. And that's what the market and that's what the economy has been propped up on the last couple of years.
So we're heading lower?
And if all that goes away, we're heading lower.
So there's Gary Kay, and you can check him out at GaryKay.com. His show archives are up there. You know, I listen to Gary most every day when I'm out on a jog or on a walk or something, and I did hear his show back in July when he sold his stocks and went flat, and I do believe now he's net short the market and has avoided the brunt of the sell-off. So, you know, kudos to Gary Kay. But anyways, that's the thought of the bulls and the bears. So for whatever that's worth, there are also some other shows over at Fox News. You can go to foxnews.com and check out the show transcripts from their business block. Now, I know a lot of you have, especially if you're Democrats, you have your parental controls on your PC and on your television to block Fox News because you consider it a Republican porn site. But they're there. And actually, another good show during the week with Neil Cavuto is Your World, and has a lot of financial information on there. And some of the folks from the business block are on there. And it's a good way to catch up if you're not recording or you're just sitting around trying to kill 10 minutes before a game or something. You can catch the archives. Check the video streaming live.
Please, please, please. Please, please, please. Had a dream last night.
Okay, so you heard some of the comments from other folks, and I think that just shows that no matter what your opinion is of the market, you can find folks to agree and folks to disagree with you, and it really depends on your experience, your risk tolerance, you know, your education, your history, where you fall. I view a lot of the information, a lot of the clips I played in the past, it's information, it's entertainment. I enjoy following some folks. Some folks I like better than others, but I think it's valuable to listen to all opinions and even those that are contrary to yours, so you can you know, see what the other side's thinking. Maybe they make sense. I don't know. But here are my thoughts on the market, and my thoughts are, you know, so the market corrected. You know, big deal. So what? Who cares? I think we're still in a bull market, and to me, that is the overriding theme. Whenever you're investing, are we in a bull market? Are we in a bear market? I think we're in a bull market, and that corrections happen, and they should happen, you know, once or twice a year, some sort of, you know, intermediate correction, something that scares folks. And I believe that these corrections present buying opportunities within the bull market. You know, the economy is growing at a moderate pace. It's not too strong. It's not too cold. It's not too cold. We're kind of fluctuating at a moderate pace, and maybe even a little bit less than moderate pace. But I think it's a sustainable pace. We're really at about a 3% range. The country is at full employment. The unemployment rate is below 5%. Wages are growing. Productivity is increasing. So I think, you know, a moderate pace is what we want to see. I think if the economic growth was too high, with the labor market being so tight, you know, I think we would see a lot more pressure on wages, kind of like what we saw in the late 90s, and the Fed would be worried about inflation. And I don't know what the Fed's talking about now. Maybe they're just jawboning. But anyways, you know, the only area of the economy that does seem to be in trouble is real estate, but I think that's confined to the subprimes. It's really confined to the few folks who bought late in the housing boom. They probably shouldn't have bought houses in the first place. A lot of those folks, you've seen them on your news, maybe on your news channel or in your newspapers. They bought a $700,000 house on a $40,000 income, and they put all this information on their loan apps that wasn't true, and maybe they were encouraged to do this by their lending institution, or maybe the lending institution bears a lot to blame for encouraging the speculation. Even in my neighborhood, look down the street, there are some houses being foreclosed on, but a lot of these homes were sold within the past 2 years. We didn't see anybody living in the house. It was just kind of vacant, sitting there. A couple of them had a renter in and out. I always wondered, how are these folks making their payments? Maybe these folks were in trouble and they thought they were going to, be rescued out by a 20 or 30% year appreciation in housing values, and that's not happening. For the rest of us, housing prices are down from the bubble peak, but, we're just working day in, day out. We're making our mortgage payments. Do we even care about the daily fluctuations in the neighborhood real estate market? We're aware of it, but we're just living our lives, and I think that's how most folks feel. It'd be nice if housing was going up 30% a year, and our stocks were going up 30% a year. That never happens for too long before there's some kind of corrective action, and in real estate it really is more than a correction. It is it is a bear market in housing values. They're already down quite a bit in some of the areas, especially like in my area in Sacramento. It really took a hit. But for the most part, you plan on living here for a while, it's probably not that big of a deal. As far as the stock market, the bear market, or the correction that we're watch that slip, the correction that we're having now. Remember the 1990s? Every dip that we had turned out to be a buying opportunity. 1995, 96, 97, 98, 99. Those are all double-digit advances in the stock market. Yet we did have some scares in. During those years, we did have significant summer corrections, and remember the sell in May and go away thought. A lot of that came to fruition during some of those years. In 1998, we had a 19% correction in the S&P 500, and that scared the heck out of folks. But it really presented a great opportunity for folks to get in the market, and at the end of the year, the market was up significantly. 2000, 2001, 2002 were the bear market. Things were a little bit differently then. And bear markets don't come along too often. The bottom was in September 2002, and since then we've been rallying. Since 2003, we've had some good years in the stock market. 2003 was up 28%. 2004 was up 10%. 2005 a little slower, 4%. Last year, 2006, was up 15%. And we were clicking along this year till the correction came, and now we're let's look at the market now. So now we're probably back up to close to a little over 1%, almost 2% in the market. I think corrections like this do present a buying opportunity. I know it's easy to react with emotion, and especially if you're watching a lot of TV, it can seem like the sky is falling at time to time. But historically, I think whenever we've had a pullback like this, it does present a buying opportunity. All right, so I've had some fun creating the podcast. Actually, this time it was a lot easier than the one I did in October. I'm using some software called Wild Voice Studio, and it's free over at wildvoice.com. Makes it real easy to create the podcast, create clips. It was actually pretty fun to do. It didn't take me hardly any time at all. The music is from music.podshow.com. Free music available there. Some of the artists. They're pretty good. Some of the stuff you heard today was the song Jeff Mallon singing Stop, Drop, Break. The Mooney Suzuki singing 99%. Aaron, and I don't know if this is the full name, but singing Please. And Industrial singing Salt, Sugar, Bomb, Baby, Baby. That was the last one. Salt, Sugar, Bomb, Baby. Anyways, there's a lot of good music over there. Sometimes it's not as well produced, but a lot of times it's pretty creative and it's kind of fun. That's about it. There's some interesting places out there that are now hosting the podcasts. I've been looking around at them. I'm going to use, I think, Podomatic for this one, but I'm going to upload it to a couple other places, including Wild Voice. They host as well. And then also TalkShoe. Talk2 is kind of an interesting website. They let you do a podcast by hosting almost like a talk show. And you can have other folks dial in, either phone in or use, you know, their microphone and their headset to talk to you on the podcast. So you can do kind of interviews and more of an interactive kind of podcast. So something like that to do in the future. In the meantime, come visit me at thelearningcurve.blogspot.com. .com. You can leave a voice message on the voice message widget in the upper right-hand corner. And you can also drop me an email at muckdog@gmail.com. All right, take it easy. Until next time. Well, that's it for now. Check out the blog at thelearningcurve.blogspot.com. See you next time.